great, great, great blessing to be here today in our new and fantastic place. Amen. I think that God has blessed us, and we need to be grateful. As the choir was singing, I was just thinking, okay, now they need to be singing two songs because we're moving forward. Amen. Very powerful. See, so we have a beautiful stage. They need to have a concert too. So everything is getting better. Amen. Do you like the new place? Are you enjoying it? It's powerful, isn't it? It's a real blessing, and it is a good thing from the Lord. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we are grateful to you for this morning, and we thank you especially that you have guided our steps to such a place. Thank you for such a great provision that you have made for us. We thank you for keeping us together all this time as we moved from hotel to hotel, as we woke up some Sunday mornings and we're not even sure where we would meet, and as we kept going from place to place to place, you kept us together and preserved us only to show us one thing, that when the Lord does something, it shall be forever. And that whatsoever is born of God overcomes. And we thank you, O God, for the lessons we have learned from that experience. Because today we stand here and sit here more assured than ever that you are our God and that you are with us. That no matter what the circumstances are in our lives, and no matter how it feels or appears, we can be sure of this one thing, that our God is a good God and that you will never leave nor forsake us. We thank you so much for your provision, for coming through for us. We pray that our time here will be a blessing to the church and to us individually, Lord. We pray that we will grow. We pray that we will grow in our walk with you. We pray, Father, that the church will prosper and do well, that we will be more fruitful for your glory in the name of Jesus. Sanctify this place. Hallow this place. Arise and inhabit this place. Let it be called the house of God. Let it be a house of prayer. Let it be a place where when people call on you, you hear them. Let it be a place where people can find and know God. Let it be an operation center for God. A place where God touches people, and a place where God visits people, a place where God reveals himself to people. Let it be a place of blessing for the people of God. And let many, many, many more people be drawn to this center, to this place where your name is lifted up, where you are genuinely worshipped, and where lives are affected for you in the name of Jesus. We pray that today will be the beginning of many great days ahead. We thank you for what you brought us here to accomplish. We're grateful to you for the Holy Spirit and for the anointing of God upon the service and upon the preaching and teaching of your word. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I was thinking of what to share with you this morning, and the Lord drew my attention to a passage of scripture in Genesis chapter 26. So, let's go in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 26 on this first day of school. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Genesis chapter 26, and Let's read perhaps the whole story so we can appreciate what is going on. Amen. I feel particularly happy that God has blessed us with a place. Amen. We've come a long way, isn't it? We've been a mobile church for a while. You know, many Sundays we were not sure where we were going to meet. And I'm touched by your faithfulness also, because it seems the Lord has blessed us with a church that doesn't mind where we meet. It's like, show us where the service is and we're rolling in. Amen. And it's a blessing. I watched as some of you came in this morning and everyone chose their parking spot. And I saw Sandra just come to choose spot number one. You know? And so it's a blessing. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 26 and verse 1 says, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Hallelujah. Now, that tells you that sometimes problems and challenges come in cycles. Do you see what I'm saying? So, there was a famine before when Abraham was there. And now, in the days of Isaac, there is also famine again. Hallelujah. But what is important is that our God is the same. Amen. And He is always with us, no matter how many times issues and challenges and difficulties recycle themselves. Can I have an amen? Amen. Verse 2 says, verse 1. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. So Isaac was now considering relocating. He was going to migrate to this place. But the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham my father. Hallelujah. So you can see right there that the Lord's blessing and prosperity is not so much a function of where you live as it is a function of being in His will. Hallelujah. That it's not just that somebody has gone to live in such and such a place and is doing well. So if you also go and live there, you will do well. Do you see what I'm saying? But what is important is that we all seek to find the will of the Lord for our lives. You see, there was famine, and everybody by default was trying to leave town. Everybody was migrating to find greener pastures somewhere else. Do you see? And then Isaac also decided to do that. But the difference is that the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, don't go to Egypt. You live where I show you, and I will bless you. Can I have an amen? He says, live in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto thy father. Hallelujah. So sometimes even the place where you will prosper does not look like a place that has any promise of prosperity for you. Hallelujah. But if it is the place that the Lord has chosen for you, then you can comfortably stay there knowing that the Lord will come through for you and God will bless you. Hallelujah. And it is very important that we walk through this life with blessing. Blessing is very critical for living. Not just hard work, not just being properly connected, not just knowing the right people, not just being adequately educated, but on top of everything that you do, it's important to be blessed. Can I have an amen? Amen. Blessing is very important. You see, as we came through the airport this morning, we were, changing planes somewhere, and the gate where we arrived was very far from the gate where our next connection was, and we had 35 minutes to connect, you see. So I began to appreciate the importance of those moving walkways. Do you understand? The moving walkway accelerates your walk and accelerates your effort. It makes every step count for three or four. Do you see what I'm saying? So when someone is living their life under a blessing, they are like a human being on a moving walkway. Do you see what I'm saying? They are taking the steps all right, but you see them advancing at a pace that is faster and quicker than can be explained by the steps they are taking. You see them prospering and doing well, and you know that there is more to this than their education, that there is more to this than who they know. There's more to this than where they live. Do you see what I'm saying? You see that the person is advancing and the person is doing well. So as we stood on the moving walkway, I could see how everybody was just, it's like they're moonwalking. You see them walking and everybody is just sort of moving in a certain way. Hallelujah. That is the way blessing is. That when you live under a blessing, your life is different. Do you understand? In the Bible days, people understood the value of blessing so much so that they fought for it. There was a guy called Jacob, his father is the guy we're reading about this morning. This Jacob, he fought his brother and went to great lengths to take the blessing that otherwise belonged to his brother. Do you see? I mean, he knew that the blessing on his life would make such a big difference that he went to extreme lengths. You see, his brother was kind of hairy, and he wasn't. And their father couldn't see. Their father was going to pronounce a blessing on the brother, and the way he was going to know that he was blessing the correct brother was to feel his skin. Can you believe that this Jacob went to find some type of super glue and he put it on his skin? And then he cut the hair on the sheep and he put it on his skin so that he would feel hairy. And so when his father would put his hand on his, or rub his hand on his skin, he would feel the hair and say, "That's Esau," and put the blessing on him. Hallelujah. This same Jacob, the Bible says one day he went to sleep somewhere and then he woke up and saw that an angel had come to the place. Then he took the angel on. He said, "Unless you bless me, you won't go." And he began to fight with an angel for blessing. What understanding must a human being have of blessing to make him fight with an angel for it? He fought with the angel who hold the angel's leg. He said, "You won't go." The angel gets free. He holds the other leg. "You're not going." I said, just bless me, because I know that the blessing of the Lord will make a difference in my life. Hallelujah. So it is important to do anything you have to do to be blessed and to keep the blessing on your life. Because when the blessing of God remains on your life, it does not matter what happens. Do you understand? You take this church, for example, and think of how far we have come and all the places we've met. The other day I was counting and I realized that in the space of a couple of years, we had been meeting in about 6 different places. At one time our address is here, another time our address is over there, another time it's over there. We even stopped changing it on the internet. You see the thing? You change it again this morning. Okay, so now it's updated. You see what I'm saying? But you see, when God has blessed something, no matter how you turn it and rotate it, the thing still stays blessed. It continues to live and it continues to prosper. Hallelujah. And that's where you must strive to be. That's why you must strive to be in the heart of the will of God for your life. Not just follow people, not just follow things because everyone is doing it, or because it is the popular thing to do now, or that's what everybody is doing now. No, that's the way to die. That's the way to go down. The way to go up is to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to be with? Do you understand? Who do you want me to stay with? Who do you... To take it up to the Lord in prayer. You see, we used to sing a song, oh, what needless pain we bear. It says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. And then, oh, what needless pain we bear. Then it says, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Did you used to sing that song too? Do you still sing it? Amen. It says we have a lot of needless pain because we don't carry things to God in prayer. It says we forfeit peace because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Then it says, in all your ways, in anything that you try to do, in all your ways, whether it's your academic ways or it is your career ways or your relationship ways, the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. God is keen on directing you. Because in this life, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man. But the end of the road often leads to destruction. It goes where you don't imagine or expect that it would lead. Hallelujah. So it is very, very important that we strive to keep God at the center of it all. And at the center of our lives. And to ensure that our aim in life is to find our place in the middle of His will. That, Lord, I want to be where you want me to be, and I want to go where you want me to go. Because when God is with you, no matter where you are, even in a lion's den, He's able to come and shut the mouth of lions. When God is with you, the things that must kill you just lose the power over your life. Do you understand? Things that destroy other people just don't have the power to destroy you. I mean, how could it be that someone would be in front of lions who haven't eaten? Even when lions have eaten, it's not a simple thing to be in front of them. How much more when lions haven't eaten? But when the Lord is with someone, He stands before lions. The Bible says, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. And it says that it will not burn you. It says, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. And the waters will not drown you. They will not drown you. And you will see that you go through things and you come out and you only come out better. You even look back and you imagine and try to wonder, how did I survive this? There is no secret to it. It is because you are in the heart of the will of God and God is with you. And no matter what happens, God will always show Himself strong on your behalf. Say amen. Amen. Huh. I'm preaching to you my best sermon on this first powerful day. Hallelujah. So the Lord said to him, verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I'll be with thee, and I'll bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I'll give all these countries. Huh. So great blessings can look like very small things and often depend on very small decisions. Do you see? So Isaac, he says in verse 4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So right there, you also see another important thing, which is that your obedience to God is very important because it's going to affect your seed, which is your posterity. It's going to affect your children. Hallelujah. What it also means is that sometimes you inherit curses and frustrations because of the disobedience of the people ahead of you. Do you understand? You can inherit curses because of the disobedience of your father, the disobedience of your mother, the disobedience of your grandparents can actually introduce difficulties and hardships in your life. Just like your obedience can also reverse the trend. Your obedience can start a new line of blessed people which will begin with you. So you and your children, he said, look, all of this that the Lord is telling Isaac, he says in verse 5, the reason why. He says, because Abraham obeyed my voice. That is, your daddy was good to me. Your daddy was faithful to me. And I promised him I was going to bless you. That's why I've come to advise you. Do you understand? Because of your daddy's faithfulness and because of your daddy's commitment, I am committed to helping you and I'm committed to guiding you. That's why I'm telling you, live here. Don't go where you say you are going. Can I have an amen? Amen. So verse 6, Isaac dwelt in Gerar. You see, so don't compare yourself to Isaac. When you see Isaac living in a certain place, don't try to live there also. Because Isaac is living there because God has directed him to be there and has made a way for him there. Now, verse 7, and the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, he said, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Hallelujah. See, so some people get away with this kind of thing. I don't imagine that I can get away with it when I say, my wife is my sister. Do you believe such a thing? It's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. So, verse 8, and it came to pass when he had been there a long time, Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, match.com. Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, I have seen something. Of a surety, she is thy wife. How saidst thou, she is my sister? Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of my people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us. Do you understand? So it means that our sexual activities and habits also introduce guilt and bring and introduce curses upon us. That is why Abimelech was very, very worried. He said, what is this that you have done? What kind of game is this? Because I know my guys. You see, I know my guys. I mean, this is a narrow escape for them because, you know, all you had to do is to spend one night here. You see, and so he said that you would have brought guiltiness upon us. And so Abimelech decided to charge all the people, verse 11, and said to them, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. This thing must be very serious. Then verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. Now look at this verse. It says, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 13. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Wow. Come on, say wow. How many of you would like that to be the description of your life? The Bible says, and the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great and went forward. How many of you have been looking to go forward? How many have been looking to advance and to do better than you are doing right now? The Bible says the blessing of the Lord is what makes a person go forward. It is no secret how Isaac went forward. Isaac didn't go forward because he went to see some juju man somewhere in a village in Africa. Isaac didn't go forward because he had a particular last name. Isaac didn't go forward because he was well connected with certain people. The Bible says the origins and the source of Isaac's progress was because the Lord blessed him. And this morning, I want to challenge you to begin to look for God's blessing. Do you understand? Begin to set your heart on God's blessing. Because Magdalene, if the Lord blesses you, it will make such a big difference. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. What you need is God's blessing. And God blessed Isaac. And Isaac went forward. God blessed him and he went forward. The blessing of God, it causes people to go forward. Wow. Sometimes you meet people you haven't seen in a long time. And your heart even breaks. Because they look so much worse than they were before. You look at people and you see, like I was reading a scripture the other day, and it was describing someone's age, and it simply said, it says, they were both well stricken with years. You know, and I was asking myself, how would you feel if you meet your friend whom you haven't seen since you left elementary school, and the person looks at you and says, wow, you look well stricken with years. Would that be a compliment or what? But sometimes you meet people who have been going round and round and round and round in circles, and they have not prospered. They have not gone forward. And sometimes when you listen to them, you realize that they have even gone backwards. They are worse off than they were before. But Isaac stayed where the Lord pointed out to him. The place where the Lord provided for him, Isaac stayed there. The blessing of God settled on his life. And the Bible says he went forward and he waxed great. And the Bible says he continued to go forward and continued to advance until he became very, very great. I can imagine how his classmates would meet him and not recognize him. I can imagine how some of his mates would meet him at the mall and walk past him. I could imagine how some of the people who lived in his previous neighborhood would see him and wonder, you know, is this the same guy? You know, I can imagine how people would keep a distance from him because the man had become so great. See, what I realize is that many of us do not focus enough and concentrate enough on God for his blessing to have any significant effect on our lives. Most of us have a very weak connection to God. You see what I'm saying? You see, I think of a water hose. Do you know what a water hose is? You know how you connect a water hose to a tap and then the water runs through it. And the same pressure you find coming out of the tap builds up at the other end of the water hose. Now imagine what happens when the water hose is only partly connected to the tap. Like that. So here is the tap. The water is coming here. But the water hose is not meeting it like this. It only meets it like that. Do you see? So there are some of us who are actually misaligned with God. We are not properly aligned. God is here and you are there. And you have only a casual affiliation with him, which is reflected in even your attendance at church, is reflected in your personal relationship with him outside the church. It is reflected even sometimes how you behave in the church. You know, you don't know the songs, you don't learn them, you're not interested in singing them. You know, your relationship with God is not meeting head on. And so the things that God has for your life are not descending into your life with the same force as they should. That is why at the end of your water hose, you can't build a certain pressure of blessing because it's not coming through that much. Hallelujah. But I just want to say to you that as we have moved to a new place as a church, it is an opportunity also for you to move to a new place in your walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. As the church has advanced, because who is the church? Before we ever came here, this was just an events hall. That's all that this place is. The church is you and I. When we come here, it becomes a church. Do you understand? So when the church has moved, it should mean that you have also moved. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the past can be put behind you. That all things are passed away, that a certain wishy-washy Christianity is gone, a certain Christianity that depends on someone giving you a ride, that depends on who else is coming to church. You wake up in the morning and you ask, I'm not going. Will you go? You know, you don't even know if you will go or not. It really depends on who is going. You know, you don't know if you want God or not. It depends on who else wants him. So if other people do not want him, then well, God, too bad for you. Most of us don't want you today. And so we stay at home. We do all kinds of things. Listen, I want you to understand that there is nobody who has genuinely served God and has not been blessed. Blessing is an automatic side effect of serving the Lord. You see, I saw a verse yesterday. Job chapter 36 and verse 11. Job chapter 36 and verse 11. Just jump to that verse real quick and then we'll wrap up on this one. Job chapter 36 and verse 11. The Bible says, if they obey and serve him, can you see it? Why don't you read it with me? 1, 2, 3, go. If they obey and serve him, they shall do what? They shall do what? They shall spend their days in what? Prosperity, and their years in what? Wow. So you turn to your neighbor and ask him, I'm just curious, how are you spending your days? Just tell the person, I'm just curious. And how are you spending your years? See, the reason why some of us get so sad when we have another birthday is because our years are passing by and we have not seen any pleasures yet. And we start to think, hey, if not now, then when? If it's not happening now, then when? All my years are passing by, my days are rolling by, and I haven't seen anything. But the Bible says, look, if you obey and serve him, you know, as we have moved to this new place, I want you to move to a new place in your life. Just decide that, look, all things are passed away. A certain way of serving God, you know, hotel room style serving God, you know, where nobody can predict. Just as much as you couldn't predict where the church will meet, you could also not predict whether you will be there. A certain unstable, unpredictable way of relating with God. That as God is seeing you today, he has no idea when he will see you next. You see what I'm saying? A certain unpredictable way of relating with God that can easily be shoved away by very trivial things. Like a person has her clothes to wash, and it's so much more important than her time with God. That I have laundry to do today is so much more important than going to church, than hearing anything from God. All that this man did was just to obey one simple thing that God told him. See, sometimes we think that serving God is so difficult, and that there are so many rules and so many things you have to obey. But really, often, all that God needs to do is just to get you to obey just one simple thing. Like he told Isaac, just stay here. Didn't tell Isaac who to marry. Didn't tell Isaac, you know, even which part of here to stay. Didn't tell Isaac what car to buy, what work to do. He just said, you just stay here, just here, and I'm going to bless you. I believe that if we will come to a place where we will take God seriously and take advantage of the move to have a new beginning and say to the Lord, you know, as I have moved, as the church has moved, I have moved with it. I have a new place with you and a new walk with you that does not depend on what my friend is doing. Does not depend even on what my spouse is doing. It does not depend on what my beloved is doing. It just depends on you and I. It just depends on you and I. It depends on what you have promised, and it depends on what I have said I'll do. The Bible says, if they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and they will spend their years in pleasures. Hallelujah. God has made that promise to anyone who obeys and serves him. But how can you obey if you've not been told anything? That is why being in a place where God can speak to you is of utmost importance to you. Hallelujah. Because it is only when you hear something that you have the chance to obey. If you don't hear anything, it doesn't matter how willing you are to obey. There is nothing to obey. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Most of us are willing to obey stop signs if we see one. Do you understand? The problem is if you don't see one. If you don't see one, you just press the gas and you just keep going. Do you see what I'm saying? So it is your blessing to have an instruction. Because the instruction sets you up to have something to obey. And your obedience sets you up to have and to reap prosperity. Do you understand? Often your obedience will translate into service. Because it will make you do something. And that something you do will end up triggering a blessing in your life that will generate prosperity and pleasures for your life. God wants you to be happy. Tell your neighbor, God wants you to be happy. Hallelujah. You are not the only person who wants to be happy. Everyone likes to see their child happy. Is it not true? Most parents are not happy when their children are not happy. Do you understand? Most parents are not happy when their children are restless. Their children can't sleep. Their children toss and turn at night. The temperature is rising, you know, and the parents themselves get so restless. But everybody likes to see their child laughing and giggling. Then they catch them and they throw them up and they go, choco, 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 you know, and they are just happy and rejoicing. God is also happy. The Bible says he has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Hallelujah. So decide that I am moving to a new place in God. Look at this Isaac. The Bible says he was so great in verse 14, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Because with blessing always comes envy. Do you see? Then it says, for all the wells which Isaac's father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. This is the work of a jealous person who is spoiling the good things that you have. Do you see? And then verse 16. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. You have a beauty in your life that makes us ugly. Do you understand? Do you see how sometimes you think you're wearing a white shirt until you meet someone who is wearing a white shirt? That's when you finally realize that your white shirt was actually a yellow shirt that missed the color. This guy got so blessed that the Philistines couldn't take it anymore. Abimelech one day called the guy and said, look, my friend, go away from us. You are so much mightier than us. You make us look like dwarfs. You make us look like we have no sense. You make us look like we have never been to school. You make us look like we were born in another generation. So just go. We give you money so you go away. I tell you, your days of that kind of blessing are close by. God is going to bless you. He's going to fill your life with such beauty that it will generate envy in people around you, because it will spark off a certain envy all around you, and people will start to feel that your beauty just makes me ugly. That even at my best, when I stand next to you, I realize I'm not doing well at all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the people begged Isaac to leave. They were so jealous of the man. And so Isaac departed thence, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Then Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. You see, and the headmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's headmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Ezek because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and they strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. Verse 22 says, and he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for thy my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So you can see that Isaac is continuing every place. The people said, go away from us, you make us look ugly. So he moved from here and he came here. He pitched his tent, he made a new well. The people came, they said, the water you've got is ours. So he left it for them. He moved on to the next place. You see, because when the Lord is with you, it doesn't really matter who takes what from you. Do you see what I'm saying? If when the Lord blesses you with something and someone takes it away from you, you just move to the next place. You see, sometimes the Lord has blessed you with a fine guy. Before you know it, somebody has come to take this fine guy. You just move to the next place and dig another well. Do you understand? Because there is more than one place where wells can be dug. That means there is more than one thing that can satisfy you. You see, wells drip with water. And water is supposed to quench thirst. Do you understand? So he went to the next place. And they came to fight with him for that one too. Three times, when he got to the third place, he dug the well. I think he was just standing there, just waiting to see if they'll come and take that. But the Bible says, for that, the people did not strive with him. So he called the name of the place Rehoboth. Then he said something which is so important. He said that, now God has made room for us. Do you understand? So we will now be fruitful. Do you understand? This is Isaac's own commitment. He says, he said, not God said to him that, Isaac, now that you've moved to this place, now you'll be fruitful. No, Isaac said, now I realize that God has made room for us. So I am now going to be fruitful. Are you getting the picture? Isaac, you see, and this is the sort of thing that gets God's attention. When people on their own begin to make promises, when people on their own begin to make vows, when people on their own start to say that, Lord, you have been good to me. From now on, I'm going to do this. From now on, I'm going to do that. Then those people begin to get God's attention in a special way. See, one such person was this guy called Solomon. The Bible says the Lord appeared to him in a dream in the night, and God asked him, ask me what you want and I'll do it for you. And then the young man said, Lord, you have made me a king. You've made me a king over so great a people. I don't know how to go out or come in. I don't know anything. I don't know how to lead them. All I ask is that you give me wisdom so I can serve these people properly. And the Bible says God was so impressed. God actually told him, because you asked for this and not this, which means God was expecting him to ask for this, isn't it? God was expecting him to ask for what all young men ask for. A lot of money, you know, good security, good job. And then kill my enemies. That is what God was expecting him to ask for. And when Solomon didn't ask for any of those things and said, I just want to be wise. I just want to know you. I just want you to reveal yourself to me. God is impressed with these kinds of things. God likes it when a person says, Lord, I can see that you have made a way for me. I can see that you've given me a new job. That, Lord, now that I have passed my exam, I see that you have made room for me. So I am going to rise up and be fruitful. I am going to rise up and let my life count for something. Do you understand that? And when people start to talk like that, the Bible says that same night, the day Isaac said that, now I'm going to be fruitful. The Bible says that same night. You know, I don't know what is going to happen tonight for you when you declare to the Lord that I recognize that you have made room for me. Do you understand? Because that same night, God came to him and God started to... It is God who started using the word blessing. See, blessing is a God word. God is the one who says, I'll bless you. It's not a human word. Don't feel bad when you say blessing. Don't feel bad when you say, I want to be blessed. Because it's a word that God also throws around quite a lot. God also uses that word freely. It says that same night, God came to Isaac that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. It's like, let me introduce myself to you properly. I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, because I'm with you. And God knew that Isaac knew what he was talking about. Abraham must have stood for something. Do you understand? And so he was reminding him. It's like somebody comes to you and the person introduces himself, you know, and says that, I am the chairman, or I am the CEO of Apple. You know Apple?
Yeah.
Not the Apple. The Apple. You see what I'm saying? Someone comes to you and he says, let me introduce to you, I am the CEO of Apple. He's expecting you to think about all that it means. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? That is why he would tell you, I'm the CEO of Apple. Otherwise, he would just say, my name is John. Do you understand? But it looks like John doesn't go far enough. But John, I am the CEO of Apple, adds a whole tail to the spear. Do you see what I'm saying? So he says that, I am the God of Abraham. Isaac knew his father. His father was that guy who was so rich. And God was saying that, I am the God of Abraham, your father. I am the God of Abraham, your father. And I wish to introduce... Oh, come on. Yeah. This thing that keeps moving. He says, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Then he says to him, don't be afraid. It sounds like the kind of thing the CEO of Apple would say. I'm the CEO of Apple. Fear not. Do you get the kind of thing that he's saying? Yeah. It's like, relax, relax. He says, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, because I am with you and will bless you and multiply you because of Abraham, my servant. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord in that place. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I want to say to you this morning that this is a good day to declare yourself out of a certain place and say that from now on, I will be fruitful. Hallelujah. That God has been good to me and I will be fruitful. Many of us live very barren Christian lives. Our lives don't yield anything. There is nothing that has come out of you since you became a Christian. Do you understand? Rather, some of us are rather a source of aggravation and backsliding for other Christians. Someone's scanty Christianity that he's barely hanging on to, even you are helping to wipe it away. When they look up to you for encouragement, they never get it. I don't feel like going to church today. Are you going? Instead of you saying, yes, let's go. You say, me too. The person is not going to go to church and is looking for company and you say, here I am. That makes two of us. So you're not being fruitful. But Isaac said, the Lord has made room for us. And as for me, I'm going to be fruitful. That's Isaac's commitment. And that same night, the Lord said, let me introduce myself to you. I am the God of Abraham, your father. I hope you know what that means. Then he said, fear not. Fear not. I'm going to bless you. God knows all the anxieties in your heart. God knows the things you are afraid of. It is very rare to find a human being who doesn't have a fear. Most of us have a fear. Most of us have a concern. Most of us have something that we anticipate but not with pleasure. We sort of feel that this might happen to us one day. And we hate it, but we can't help to expect it. But God comes to you and he says, don't be afraid. He says, you fear not. I mean, that thing you just said, that you're going to be fruitful, it's made me so impressed with you. It's gotten my attention so much, I can't help but tell you that as I was with your father, I'm going to be with you. Hallelujah. Today is a good day to renew your commitment to the Lord. It's a good day to say, I'm starting afresh. It's a good day to say, new venue, new seats, new position in the church, new choir type of singing, new hairstyle, and a new commitment to the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a good place. It's a good day to say that everything is beginning afresh because God has made room for us. He says the old fights are over. You know, times when we would arrive at the hotel to discover that we don't have the place on that day. And then the manager will call some manager and tell them, can you take these people? Then we'll go to that place and they'll say, okay, you guys come and take this place. And we'll be striving backwards and forwards, you know. And sometimes we don't know when we're going to have or where we will have church next week, you know. But God has graciously put those days behind us. Do you understand? God has put that kind of struggle behind us. He has finally given us a well that nobody is striving with us for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And now it's time, as God has done his part, it's time for you to do your part. And you also say, Lord, my response to what you have done for me is that I will also rise up and be fruitful. I'm promising you, Lord, that through me, many people will come to know you. Many people will worship God in this place through me. Because of me, many people will find you. Because of me, many backsliding Christians will straighten up and sit up and start serving you once again. Because you have made room for me, and I will rise up and be fruitful. And I guarantee you, it's going to get God's attention. And when it does, you will see the fruit practically manifest in your life. Can I have an amen? How many understand my message this morning? Why don't you stand to your feet and let's make that prayer and make that commitment to the Lord. Hallelujah. Just stand to your feet and begin to pray. Everybody, begin to pray. It's a good day to make that private and that personal commitment and say to the Lord that today I am starting afresh. Today is a day to start afresh. I'm just starting all over again. And I want to renew my commitment to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Come on, just pray and say, Lord, let's start afresh. Let's do this all over again. Let's do this all over again. Let's start this all over again because you have made room for us. You have made room for us. And so we also will arise and be fruitful. And that same night, God came to Isaac. God is going to come and visit you today as you make that commitment to be fruitful. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Here I stand. Lord, my life is
Lord, I'm longing to see
your desires.
Your desires revealed in me.
I give myself away
so you can use me.
I give myself away.
Oh, I give myself away
so you can sing. Take my life
as a living sacrifice.
Oh, come on, sing it.
All my plans, Lord, I place them in your.
Come on, sing it. Take my heart.
Take my heart.
My life.
Take my life as a living sacrifice.
All my plans,
Lord, I place them in your.
I give myself away.
Oh, I give myself away
so you can use me.
I give myself away.
Oh, I
give myself away
so you. Sing it one more time. I give myself away.
I give myself away, Lord. I give myself away
so you can use me. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to lead all of us today in a prayer of rededication to the Lord. As we come before the Lord and you are saying, Lord, today is a good day to begin. As you've given the church a new beginning, I want to join myself to it. And I also want to have a new beginning with you. So lift up your right hand, everybody, and say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for a day like this. Say, Lord, I see it as a blessing that you have given to me to live to see this day, a day of new beginnings. I recognize today, Lord, as an opportunity to change, a chance to start afresh. A chance to renew my commitment to you. A day of a fresh start. So, Lord Jesus, take my heart. Take my life. I want to be serious with you. I want to have a real relationship. I don't just want to be a member of a church. I just don't want to be a church goer. I don't want to come here because my friends come here. I don't want to come here because I'm compelled to come here. I want to come here because of you. Because I know you. Because I love you. Because I have a relationship with you.
That's the only reason why I want to be here. So Lord Jesus, let's start afresh. Forgive my sins. Forgive my backslidings. Forgive my failings. Forgive me when I have exalted other things higher than my relationship with you. Say, today I want to be like Isaac. I want to obey you. And I want to serve you. I want to be fruitful for you. So use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord, to fill this room. To fill this room. Because you have made room for us. You have made room for us. So we trust you to fill this room with souls, with people, with the people you died for, and the people you care so much about. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord. Now, I want everybody to bow your heads just before we close. Maybe you are here and you're saying, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need a total commitment to the Lord. And I want to do it today. I recognize that today is a good day to be saved. I want to be sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven. Now, while every eye is closed, just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you in particular. Just keep your hand up. I'm going to pray for you in particular. Just keep your hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your grace, for salvation, for healing, for restoration, and especially for a new beginning. Thank you, Jesus, for today. We dedicate this hall again to you. We dedicate our stay in this neighborhood to you. May you arise and let your enemies be scattered. Let them melt like wax out of this place. Let God arise in this place and let his enemies be scattered. Thank you, Lord, that in this place we will grow. In this place we will prosper. In this place we will flourish. In this place we will do well. Thank you for all the new people who are coming because we have come to this place. Thank you for the new sheep, the new members. Thank you for the gifted people, the talents. Thank you for the new grace and new gifts that we are going to see in this church. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We are so grateful. We pray for the neighborhood. We pray. The Bible says no one lights a candle and hides it under a bushel. So we believe that this light is for the neighborhood. That this light will shine in the darkness in the neighborhood. And many will see the light and they will come to it and know you. Thank you so much, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Why don't you go around and congratulate somebody and say, brother, welcome to your new place. Tell them, welcome to your new place. Welcome to your new place. Tell them, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, today is a great day to have communion. Amen. So, bring the communion. Where is the communion?
Akwesi, bring. Hallelujah. Now that we have a car park, many of you are going to have cars. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now that we have a special car park, you should expect to have cars. I said you should expect to have cars. Because the Lord said that if you obey Him and serve Him, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. Hallelujah. That means things you enjoy, isn't it? Yeah. Some of you enjoy cars. And some of you who have old cars are going to change those cars. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. God is going to bless you with a new car. Do you believe these things? Yeah. Yeah. God will bless you with a car that has a USB port. Uh-huh. You see where you can charge your iPad, your iPod, your Chi-Pad, every type of pad that you have. Hallelujah. Amen. So we want to have communion this morning as a family. Amen. We want to celebrate communion. Communion is a fellowship thing. It binds the people of God together. Amen. It helps us to know that we are many, but we are one body. Hallelujah. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for us. And then it goes along with His blood, you know. And blood is what makes people related to each other. Do you understand? Blood is what connects people together. And if you trace the blood, you can connect yourself to so many different people. Hallelujah. Blood is what makes it. So we are all united by the same blood. Do you understand? That's what makes Jason Joel's brother. Do you see? Blood. Do you understand? That's what makes me related to them. So this is what is going to make you related to the person standing next to you. Because we are all redeemed by the same blood. Can I have an amen? So bow your heads with me. Hold someone's hand and let's pray. Father.